if the British Empire and its Commonwealth last for 1,000 years, men will still say this was their finest hour.
We stand for Queen,
country, and video games. BRB UK.
Worse teeth,
better accents.
And indeed, ahoy hoy, and welcome to the steaming cesspit of just oddness that is the UK at the moment, because Brexit is still a thing, it's still going wrong. I don't know what's going on. Tim doesn't know what's going on, but that's a more general thing on the state of the world. Hello, Tim.
I thought the cesspit you were going to be referring to was this podcast. You just broadened it out into the whole country, which was probably more acceptable for me.
Hey, Burb UK means Burb UK, all right?
Yeah.
Burbuck is Burbuck.
I know. We were already... independent.
Talking of bareback, Coleman, hello.
Ah, wait, what?
I'll just check if you're paying attention.
That's bareback. Definitely the oddest intro you've ever given.
I'm bringing bareback.
It doesn't have a bareback, but he does have a bare head.
Whoa, okay, I think we need to just back away from that slightly ill-thought-out little joke just there and just say hello to each other again. Hello, everyone.
Hello, darling.
Hello. Hello, sweet cheeks.
In reverse at the moment, yeah?
Well, whichever way you want it, Tim's really. It's fine.
Whoa!
Speaking of bareback,
soldier. No, hang on. No, he's later
think
in the agenda.
To reverse to that bit. That was the bit. Oh. Never mind.
I'm bringing bareback.
So, chaps, another week. Nothing really happened about an hour and a half after we stopped recording.
No, slow news week. Nothing of importance has happened at
all.
Hey,
and as the resident Destiny fan, I'm really glad there wasn't any news that had anything to do with Destiny just after we stopped recording.
Yeah, it's a good thing we didn't talk about Destiny last week.
I know, right? So for those of you who've been...
Sorry. I forgot we were talking about this.
We were talking about this. Yes. So if any of you were wondering why the hell didn't they mention it but were blathering on about some puzzle that was too hard.
We spoke so much about Activision.
I know, right? So, here's the rub. Bungie and Activision have parted ways.
Right.
Bungie wholly owned the rights, publishing, IP, everything to Destiny 2 and to the Destiny franchise as a whole. They will still continue to be published through Blizzard's Battle.net platform.
Okay.
They are now a fully independent studio. So, apparently, according to Jason Schreier, who Tim... redo your joke, Tim. It's very funny.
You said he was doing something and I referred to him as being the town Schreier. I mentioned that you guys went on about it more than I did, but you know.
I know. Well, hey,
I liked it. I was just trying to figure out where you nicked that from because it's too clever.
Yeah, it's
too clever, Tim.
Too clever for Tim.
I'm on to you, Hibbs.
Yeah, Tim makes you demo. Tim happy.
I'm like General Ross in the 70s TV show Hunting Down, where you've nicked that joke from.
Stop talking about Pac-Man's dad.
Oh yeah,
he really is General Ross. Seriously,
why no?
Yep.
Anyway, I hear Bungie, they did
yes,
a thing.
So apparently bottles of champagne were open, corks were flying, celebrations were had.
I was editing.
You were editing. and the general immediate consensus was, well, this is probably a good thing, right?
Well, Bungie seemed to think so, like with their popping champagne and stuff, no?
Well, the thing is, I just don't think there's enough information to know whether or not it's a good thing yet. So, there's a couple of angles taken up. Right, so assuming that Activision was able to exercise some editorial control over the monetization aspect of the game, then perhaps Activision no longer being part of it, probably a good thing. The flip side of that, however, is that Bungie has utterly no excuses now.
Yes.
Would be the argument. If that stuff gets worse, which it might do, and I'll come on to that in a bit... but you know, certainly because a lot of the naysaying about this is, oh, it's Activision, oh yeah, it's bloody Activision doing that, it's all Activision's fault. Okay, well, Activision are now completely out of the picture. I mean, obviously it's going to take the kind of the cogs of the ginormous corporate machine that is games publishing. Things won't immediately change. It's going to take weeks and months for any probably noticeable end user differences. But Activision did bring some financial security, and it also brought access to their kind of partner studios like Vicarious Visions, who are actually instrumental in putting together some of the more successful bits of DLC that Destiny 2 has had. So there's no longer that kind of pre-established outsourcing ability to get other studios involved for creative input. So Bungie would either have to put that money for themselves or just have to crack on with it themselves.
Or find other partners that they...
Or find other partners, which they may be able to do.
Hello, Epic!
Yeah, well, yeah, everyone's moving to Epic at the moment. But it's actually a little unclear exactly what everything means, because all Bungie have committed to is a slightly vague statement of they're going to see the Destiny 2 roadmap through, and that takes us up to July.
Yeah, well, you'd expect that at the least, like, and that makes business sense anyway.
At the very least, because people have paid money for the content that's expected up to July. But what goes on after that is unknown.
I have a question. As a massive Destiny fan that you are,
yes,
what is your preference for Bungie from here? Like, we all expect to see a Destiny 3 in some form at some point, no? Because that was kind of laid out in the arrangement.
But that contract is now null and void.
Exactly,
that contract no longer exists.
Exactly. So that was the only thing, like, almost legally guaranteeing as a Destiny 3. So that doesn't have to happen now. They could just make Destiny 2 continue and continue its lifespan, possibly. And then make another project? Or would you prefer them to make a Destiny 3 and really sort of deliver on Destiny and the vision they see for Destiny, possibly?
I think the first thing that Bungie needs to do is to be a lot clearer with its communication. And I would hope that, because I think one of the problems with Destiny has been they go from over-promising to saying absolutely nothing at all. And I think they just need to be really sure that they are engaged as they can be with their player base. And now there is not that extra corporate level of Activision there to kind of manage and kind of dictate the terms on which those conversations have got to take place. Things might get easier.
Yeah.
I think that's key to Destiny being successful going forward. Do I think there's going to be a Destiny 3 this year? No.
Not necessarily
this year.
No, I mean, well, according to the original contract, they're meant to be doing one. This September is when it's technically due, but that contract's no longer present. But the other thing that Bungie, I also think,
but when they also massively behind schedule on that, like, original.
Yeah, well, that gives me on to my next point. Now, Tim, you're a chap like me, and come on, I think you're a chap like me.
Hello.
I often need a deadline to focus my efforts. If there's no deadline, it's going to the bottom of my list of things to do. And I do wonder if Bungie's newfound freedom will lead to about 9 months of them finding cover art for their iTunes collection and procrastinating.
I do that, to be fair.
Next, without having, you know, hard commercial targets to hit. I mean, I don't know what Bungie's management restructure is going to be. I'm assuming they're having a management restructure to take account of the suddenly very different world in which they exist. But without that focus that having contractual obligations brings, I am concerned that they're not going to put anything out in a timely fashion. And they're going to. Yes.
Do you reckon they settle those sorts of executive boardroom decision level stuff via deathmatch?
I reckon it's a time challenge. Who can teabag Bob the intern the most?
People don't still teabag in games.
No, I'm not talking about in games.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, we're talking about League of Legends again.
Yeah, certainly are. So I think they've got to be realistic with what they can achieve, but they also need to communicate what their plans are, and they need to stick to those plans. I don't know. I think they've realistically got one last crack of the whip with a Destiny 3 or whatever they call it. If that doesn't go right, I think Bungie are in real trouble.
I have a slight prediction.
Yes.
I reckon Bungie 3. Bungie 3.
Bungie 3. Bungo 3.
Yeah. No.
Skip Bungie 2.
Bungie 2. Technically, yeah. First Bungie. Bungie 3.
We've skipped Windows 9. We're straight onto Windows 10. No. I reckon Destiny 3 happens because there will be some form of development there. But then following that, I reckon we get some kind of, like, the big Destiny MMO type thing that is the ongoing service.
and will be subscription based.
Whether that's subscription based or if that's a pay once and then it's monetized, you know, monetized through skins and what have you, a la every MMO out there after a certain period of time, I'm not 100% sure, but I reckon that's what happens.
Well, now that brings me on to my next point. Now, back in, I think it was July last year, Bungie got a big old cash injection from a Chinese company called NetEase. They invested $100 million.
As injections go, that's a good injection.
That is a pretty big injection. I would say that's an infusion, not an injection. It's that big. I would upgrade it from an injection. So anyway, NetEase are the same company behind the very controversial Diablo Immortal project. Which got Blizzard booed at their own party.
Are you guys not excited for that? You have mobile phones, don't you?
Boo!
Are you saying boo or boo earns?
Boo! And, you know, this is a company that has a really strong track record of some slightly dubious play-to-win mechanics in the way it's gone about monetization in its previous projects. And in a tweet that promptly got deleted around the time of the Diablo Immortal announcement, basically there was a dude in front of a slide presenting some Blizzard execs, basically going, right, so if they want to make this thing better, they need to pay some money, is pretty much what it came down to. Now, there's no hint that NetEase are going to be directly involved in the Destiny franchise, but there's also no hint that they're not. And if the agreement was made directly with Bungie, and it was for that sum of money, I can guarantee you they've got a seat around the board of execs. So that is a potential source of concern. So I think it's probably good for Bungie. Do I think it's good for Destiny? I don't know. Do I think Bungie needs to absolutely knock it out of the park in the next year? Yes, they absolutely do. They cannot any longer exist as the company who put Halo together.
Well, so you've got the diehard Bungo fan base that have been, any kind of bad changes with Destiny have been able to go, well, that's Activision, isn't it? That's the Call of Duty moniker. Well, that's Activision.
Exactly.
Now they're separated. If they don't knock it out of the park, that's gone.
Yeah, exactly. So I think it's really critical. This year is going to make or break Bungie. And I know that sounds hyperbolic, but honestly, they've got all of the excuses which, you know, even if Bungie didn't use, certainly their fan base did about, oh, it's not Bungie's fault, it's Activision. Yeah. All of that's gone now. So over to you, Bungie. Hope you make it a good one, and I hope that you do well, but they really do need to perform now. So I think it's, yeah. I mean, I honestly don't, I think it's probably good, but I think time is going to tell on that.
They wanted their independence from Microsoft, and they had to give up Halo. They want their independence from Activision, and they're like, well,
bloody Destiny with you.
Well, we don't know if Bungie, whether Bungie left of their own accord or whether or not they were invited no longer to be partners with Activision. Because I'd imagine, I haven't read the contract in full, but there will be break clauses in it where either side can terminate the agreement if the relationship isn't performing to expectations. And Activision have repeatedly said that, you know, Forsaken underperformed.
Well, just Destiny 2 in general.
Underperformed.
Yeah, their sales calls, they said that Destiny 2 underperformed. They said Forsaken underperformed. And then Bungie came out and went, look, we don't believe the word of Activision's financial calls. We think that Destiny did very well. So, yeah.
So, I mean, I do wonder if Activision had finally had enough. And whether or not that, because whether or not the absolute kind of cock up around Black Armory's endgame content was the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I may have actually read it in reference to the next story we've got coming up on the agenda, but I think Jason Fry was generally saying that the big studios are, or the, you know, the big, like, kind of the publishing studios like Activision, EA, and a few other people are looking to cut costs and shed studios at the moment, basically. So,
and give $15 million in bonuses to new execs.
Yeah, so, you know.
Because why not? You know, you're rid of a couple of, you know, it's not like you could run a studio for the best part of a year on that. Give it to one guy, it's fine. I mean, that was odd, because they jettisoned their chief financial officer and brought a new person on board and gave them a signing on bonus, $15 million.
I wouldn't mind that. I want a cash injection. $15 million as well for a signing bonus.
Any injection you can get would be my advice, apart from ones that you get around. Let's not... Actually, I go back on that comment.
I got a moving bonus of £100 Amazon gift card, so, you know.
Wow.
Swings and roundabouts, really.
Hey, I get access to the stationery cupboard. I know, right?
You get stationery?
I get stationery. I get hardback notebooks.
Bareback notebooks. I work in a paperless environment.
What, even the toilet? Yeah, LA paperless as well.
No, three seashells,
mate. You just got to use your hand.
Seashells.
No, seashells, really?
Yeah, three of them.
Or do they just make you take a crap and a sand pit or something like that? Is it like cat litter?
I don't think Dancing Demolition Man.
Is that how paperless your office is?
Moving on.
Anyway, EA.
Eh.
Apparently,
It's actually pronounced
Anyway, EA, however you, or Electronic Arts, the full name them, because they're...
Electronic Arts?
They're being bad. It's a local shop for local people. Where are we going?
Those small indie publishers, EA.
So small indie publishers, there we go. Small indie publishers, EA, the gamer's favourite. Apparently the open world Star Wars game that was in the pipeline has been cancelled.
Now, is this the open world Star Wars game that was going to be a single player narrative made by Visceral Games, who then got closed down and then it got shifted over to Montreal, I think, who were then turning it into a Destiny-like open world
parts
microtransactions?
Of that game got
shifted. Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah. Well, and then didn't they go, oh, hang on, we've got Anthem coming up, and that's similar.
That wasn't part of the problem. The problem was this game was going to be too far in the future before it was released, basically. Mm.
But it was in a galaxy. No, was it meant to be a long, long time ago,
not far in the future.
Also, Vancouver, getting their branding wrong, sorry.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Also, it was Vancouver, not Montreal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, so Kotaku came out and said, hey, it's always Kotaku, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Kotaku went, hey, there's a Star Wars game, the ones that was announced at Visceral Games that closed in 2017. That's now cancelled, the actual game itself. Well, the assets of that game that was going to be a different game has also been cancelled.
Yeah. There was some talk that that might be a factor of postponing it until they can make another game that can come out faster than that game and then possibly going back to that. But yeah, there is rumors that they're making a different Star Wars game that will come out faster.
Yeah. Well, one, I reckon there's a million sites at the moment that have put the Star Wars games you've never got to play, because there's just too many Star Wars games that are getting cancelled now.
Star Wars 1313 is still the one I'm sad.
That does
about,
sting still. And EA did actually put out a statement following all the rumours, but it doesn't really shed too much light on. It's just more like, not even that. They've just kind of gone, hey, we're excited about new Star Wars projects.
So. Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's for a whole paragraph worth of waffle. They've done very well in saying actually nothing in that whole paragraph.
Yeah.
It's like, well, you know, there's been speculation and creative progress. Sometimes stuff happens, sometimes it doesn't. We like Star Wars. It's pretty much what it is.
Please don't take the license from us, Disney. Please don't take the license from us, Disney.
We're actually doing something okay with it.
We've got some ideas left.
Yeah.
Like, Titanfall. You guys like Titanfall, right? Those guys are making a Star Wars game. Imagine how good that'll be.
We know the name and everything.
Star Wars. Imagine it. Star Wars.
We weren't even ready to put together a trailer, but we could ask the guy in the audience if he's working on it or not.
What a name. Jedi Fallen Order. But yeah, like, that's one thing I'm actually looking forward to give them some credit. Like, Respawn making a Star Wars game, that could go very well.
Oh yeah, after Titanfall 2 and the single-player narrative version of Titanfall 2, I'm very excited to see what that has to offer.
I have to say, that was one of the most pleasant surprises of a single-player campaign I've experienced in a first-person shooter for a long
time. Take Titanfall, turn it into a Mega Man game. Brilliant. Love it.
Right.
Take down boss, get power up from boss, use that power up against next boss. Basically a Mega Man game.
It says about start referring to yourself in the third person game, Coleman. Coleman, kill man. Coleman, take stuff from man. Coleman, now that man.
The Coleman does not refer to himself in the third person.
Fair enough. So goodness knows what's going on. It's a crazy mad world, but it's not, well, no crazier or madder than good old Soldier Boy. However,
oh God,
fresh from his car accident, fresh from his car accident, an alleged lawsuit with Nintendo. Poor chap was a bit bored. Do you know what he thought he'd do?
What did he thought he'd do?
Soldier Boy thought me want to do a new console.
Okay.
And it's practically, in design terms, a complete utter rip-off of the PlayStation Vita.
It's a Vita.
It is a Vita. Although with PSP specs, it says it's got an HD screen, but it's actually only, 480 by 272, which ain't really high def. And was very, very vague about actually what you can or cannot do on this particular handheld.
I wonder why.
Yeah. And the most impressive thing on, if you actually, well, you can't, I would say look it up on his store, but Soldier Boy's online store is mysteriously deactivated at the moment.
So that one's probably gone now.
But the best thing about the little thing is the thing they've shown is that clearly the Photoshop picture of the game on the handheld is upside down, which is really quite impressive. So Soldier Boy, attention to detail yet again. You can also apparently get Apple AirPod knockoffs, a Soldier Pad tablet, which looks a bit like an iPad, an Apple Watch lookalike, which isn't an Apple Watch.
And at one point he sold hoverboards. That's just fantastic.
And incredibly, a smartphone. Now, I don't think the word smart is something I necessarily consider synonymous with the Soldier Boy image.
Tim, I believe you may have forgotten about the memo we decided on a while ago, but they're not called hoverboards. They're called rototwats. yes. But the whole thing, it reminds me of when the... I reported on ages ago, when the Vita first came out, about a Chinese knockoff that was going around the market. And it was essentially just a PSP in a Vita skin. I believe one of the sticks didn't work. And it was just an emulator. That's all it was. And I'm assuming that's exactly what this is. Again, another Chinese knockoff that he's trying to slap his name on.
Yes, you can actually buy something that looks surprisingly identical on AliExpress for $33.
There you go. And they were selling these things at $150, I think, when they first released.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To be fair, anything with the Soldier Boy name on just generally, you know...
You crank it.
Installs, you know, a vision of quality and obvious gaming prowess. Like,
I mean, the lack of respect he has for his audience he's going after is frankly astonishing. But there are some exciting features I'd just like to read you from the AliExpress page, which I'm sure... you could look forward to if you manage to get your hands on one, at least one.
Soldier Boy ever gets his website back.
Okay, so first of all, it's got exquisite craftsmanship and fashion design with a reasonable price. Are you excited yet?
It looks like a Vita. The Vita looks all right.
Okay, it support PC camera, connect the computer, can use as computer camera.
You can connect it via a USB to your computer. Why would you?
here's my favourite bit. Okay, multi-thread task mode, all right? You can listen to music whilst watching ebooks. that's how next generation this device is. You're no longer reading ebooks. You are watching ebooks. That's how next gen this device is.
You can read a PDF while you are listening to an audio file. Most bog standard MP3 players with an LED screen can do that.
Mm-hmm. And it's got stereo sound speakers, give you different auditory experiences.
Stereo speakers, thank you, 90s.
Yep, that's quite all right. So, it's
thank God for stereo speakers.
If you ever wondered what kind of substandard electronics $33 will get you, well, just check this out. It's pretty terrible.
Or if you want to pay $150 for the same thing.
Do you know, I'd just go out and get a Vita. You can probably get one second hand for about £70 at the moment.
Oh,
and
that, mate, you if you pay for the postage, I'll send you mine.
No, it's all right. But,
I've got my Switch now. I'm all good.
Yeah, I mean, you could do a lot worse than the Vita, frankly. But this is not that.
Actually, I'm going to retract that statement because the last time I said that I'd give a bunch of stuff away as a laugh, someone actually took me up on it and I had to pay for the postage. my girlfriend's got that Vita, so no claiming it.
Okay, fair enough. Anyway, so I think that's about it for the news, isn't it? Unless there's anything in the wings of someone breaking a long-standing partnership with someone else. I don't know. I don't think there is.
30 minutes after we end the show, while Coleman is still editing, there will be some big news that we haven't covered here.
Probably. Okay. We got some points of interest, though.
That is
and
good.
I'll burn them through them super quick.
Do that.
Well, hit me. Interest my points, Carmen. Go for it.
Yep. So, first of all, it's another new year, which means that Amazon, the rumors that Amazon are going to break into the gaming market has surfaced once again.
Happy New Year!
Hey! This time, apparently, they're working on a streaming service, according to rumors. So, much like the upcoming Project X Cloud and Project Stream, Microsoft and Google's projects, they are apparently Amazon are going to throw their hat in the ring and have something ready for 2020 by the earliest. So the idea is, once again, big supercomputers, they will power the game and then stream out to devices like smartphones and tablets and smart TVs and what have you. So
it's still one of those things that is, in essence, a really good idea, but low latency network infrastructure just isn't there yet.
That is true, but maybe by 2020, who knows? I know it's only two years.
Oh, well, the speed of light have got quicker.
I know it's only 2 years away, but if you look at like when the OnLive was launched, and I thought it was a great idea. The problem was in my where I lived in Gosport, and we were still on copper wiring in a lot of sections. It was impossible to run that damn thing. Mm. Maybe we're getting there. Who knows? I mean, there's good things with the whole. There's a few services that are out at the moment that I've heard good things about. So
GeForce Now is one of them.
GeForce Now is one of them. PlayStation.
I have tried that out.
Yeah, PlayStation View, is that what it was called?
PlayStation Now.
Yeah, I'm mixing up their different services. Their past failed services, yes, with their current failing services. But PlayStation Now is doing all right. It's improved a lot over the years. So I don't know. Who knows? Maybe we can get there. There's another rumor. Apparently, there was an alleged data mine by a fellow who goes by the name of Cappuccino Heck, and he did a data mine of the Nintendo Switch Online app, and he found a bunch of code for SNES games, which is something that I know Daniel has been looking forward to.
I have been positively tumescent with the thought of this.
Yeah.
It's very exciting.
Would you like to know some of the games that appeared in this data mine?
Hit me up with them, Coleman.
Be still your beating heart. It is Super Mario Kart.
Oh, yeah.
Super Soccer.
What?
Super Soccer.
Oh.
Okay. Legend of Zelda Link to the Past.
Best game ever.
Yeah, ported to every Nintendo console by this point. Demon's Crest.
Never.
Yoshi's Island.
Yeah.
Stunt Race FX.
Yeah.
Doesn't Yoshi's Island require the Super Blaster thing?
The Super FX. No. Yoshi's Island was a Super FX-based game, as well as Stunt Race FX.
Okay.
But it did not require the bazooka attachment.
What was that? That was one where you rode on the back of Yoshi as your baby Mario, and you had the bazooka, and you could also shoot the back of Yoshi's head, and he would get angry at you.
Okay.
I think it came with
the
bazooka.
Well, it made a refreshing change from Mario donkey punching him, I suppose.
Kirby's Dream Course.
Right.
That's underrated. Poppin' Twinbee, which is an awesome arcadey-style shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Star Fox.
Good game.
Contra Free. Mm-hmm.
Very good game.
Kirby Superstar.
Pretty good game.
Super Ghosts and Ghouls and Ghosts, sorry.
That game hates me.
Yeah, yeah, it hates everyone.
But that's, take it personally.
I think that's the best version of that game. So
yes, I agree. Yeah.
Kirby's Dream Land 3.
Yeah.
Super Metroid, best version
that
of that game.
That is an awesome game.
Mm-hmm.
That's one I've always missed out on. I always wanted to play that.
Oh, it's so good.
It's the best version of Metroid, of which I think there are two.
Yeah.
Super Mario World.
Best Mario game.
Love that game. Pilot Wings.
Good as a tech demo. Not sure how well it's going to hold up.
Yeah,
now.
That's what I was thinking. F-Zero.
Yeah,
Captain Falcon. F-Zero.
Interestingly, Star Fox 2, which was the game that
was never released.
Yeah, it was finished, never released until the recently. Super Nintendo Mini came out.
Mm-hmm.
Super Punch Out, which is madness.
Yeah, and great.
Punch Out's great. I'm not sure about Super Punch Out.
I think it's all right.
All the references to Mike Tyson removed from the arcade version, and they're in space. The Legend of the Mystical Ninja.
I remember that game being a thing, but I can't quite remember what it was. But I think that's a good thing.
Super Mario All-Stars?
Yay! I like me some Super Mario All-Stars.
Which is like the earliest version of a HD remake for us as kids, I think.
It was an SD remake.
Yeah. Super Mario 1, 2, 3, and the original Super Mario 2, which was renamed The Lost Levels in Europe, and then all done in the same graphical style as Super Mario World.
That game also hates you.
Yes. Breath of Fire 2?
Yep.
And that's all of them.
That's the thing. Well, I mean, I think it's good, and I think it's very sensible Nintendo are making this idea. And, you know, I'm not surprised if the thinking behind it was, wow, we sold a lot of those NES and SNES mini consoles. Why don't we, if we're going to do a new revision of the Switch, drop the old one by quite a considerable margin in price and have access to all of these classic games? Because there's clearly a market for it. And I think it's a pretty good idea, actually.
I think there's been a long-standing idea of the Nintendo Switch Online to add games in from other consoles. I'm like I said, I can't remember if it was last week or the week before, but I do hope that we get to a point where it's kind of like the virtual console where we get like Neo Geo and Sega Mega Drive and stuff added to that.
And Netflix classic games.
Yeah, that would be absolutely awesome. That would be something that stands out so different to PlayStation Plus and Games of Gold that would make me excited to, already have it, but would be excited to actually get in and delve into these games a bit more. Mm. That said, Blaster Master came out last week and it's bloody awesome. And it has amazing music. Go play that game. It's great.
Okay. Yes, I will, Bungo? I was about to call you Bungo for some reason.
You've got it on the brain.
I have got Bungo on the brain.
The salivation of Bungie splitting from Activision has got Dan all a fluster.
Tumescent.
Yeah, I reckon there's been plans in the works for a long time, but because Nintendo have stuck NES games on there and it didn't really take off in the way they hoped it would, I reckon they're going to speed things up.
Yeah.
That's all. And lastly, PlayStation 4. Would you believe they've announced what the next cross-platform game is going to be?
What?
So we've already got Fortnite is cross-platform now.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
They're going to allow the next one. And would you believe it? It's going to be Rocket League. The first guys to say they could do it.
Isn't that the one they accidentally turned it on and then turned it off again?
No, that was Fortnite. No,
Rocket League.
Psyonix, who developed Rocket League, they came out and said, hey, we can do crossplay about 2 years ago. We have the technology. We're ready. We just got to switch it on. We just need Sony's say-so. And it went very dark and nothing happened. Fortnite, Epic actually switched it on and didn't say anything. And then it got reported on and apparently PlayStation copped a fit and it got taken away very quickly. But yeah, that's two games now that can be crossplay. So
bizarre.
I reckon Minecraft's next.
Well, I reckon Destiny might happen as well.
I don't think, if it's a different Destiny game, yes, but I don't think Destiny 2 will get it.
No, because there's still platform exclusives, which you couldn't really ensure parity.
I'm talking about the next game to get it. I think Minecraft would be the one because it already has that cross-play functionality in place for other consoles and, everything bar PlayStation. It would just let them in on their party, basically. Even though it's owned by Microsoft, so...
Plunkbat might happen for Plunkbat.
Yeah, does anyone really care about PUBG anymore? No? Okay. But anyway, Rocket League players, you'll now be able to play online with matches of PlayStation 4, Nintendo Switch, Xbox One, and PC through Steam. And the Vice President Marketing of Psyonix, Jeffrey Dunham, said that the cross-platform parties will be available and easier to create once they release their first update of the new year, which they've not said when that's going to be yet. But look out for that. If you're a big Rocket League fan, then you've got more competition incoming.
Lorks and indeed a mercy.
Mm, and I know those Xbox One players are pretty damn fierce on Rocket League.
Everyone in Rocket League is.
Everyone under the age of 12 is pretty damn fierce in that game.
Yeah, exactly. Anyone who's young enough to still have reflexes is pretty, pretty, pretty much better at that game than I will ever be. Anyway, I think that's all our points interested, I do believe.
Are we making mention of Gearbox?
I think we should wait
just
and see.
Stay clear of that, son.
I think we should wait until all of the facts are out and about.
Okay. There's things going on with Gearbox. We're not going to talk about it until it's ready. But needless to say, all the things that are happening, we don't condone any of it. How's that?
No. Exactly. If all the alleged things are true, then shame on you.
Yeah.
However, shame on you.
Out of this whole thing, we're not going into legal ramifications or what have you.
Innocent until proven.
I don't want to get sued. Can I just say that now?
Part of this came into mention the Pith Pod, which Randy Pitchford appeared on. And that's a magic podcast by a magic comedian called Piff the Dragon, who I really like and didn't know he had a podcast. So now I've got something to listen to extra. So, you know, every cloud.
I'm not sure that's the best silver lining.
No, I'm not sure that's the takeaway that you should really be getting from this, Coleman. But,
to be fair, look up Piff the Dragon. He's really good.
Good.
P-I-F-F.
He Puff's younger and less successful brother. That's the joke. He's a dude dressed in a dragon onesie. He does magic tricks, but he's very funny. He does very deadpan kind of comedy.
He looks like he's led a life.
Most people have, Dan.
They have lived a life. Him on? He didn't do Britain's Got Talent, did he?
I think he might have. He also did that Penn and Teller magic Britain's Got Talent style show that didn't last very long.
Show me your magic.
Fool me or something. Show me your magic. Get it on the glass table.
The foolish one. Yeah, that didn't last so well.
Put your magic on the table.
Get your card tricks out for the boys, for the boys. Anyway, Tim, me and Coleman haven't played games. You have.
Games. Plural.
What have you played?
I've played games.
There's one that I need to talk about, so I'm going to talk about that.
You talk about that.
Coffee Crisis on the Switch.
You do that.
I believe it's available in other formats. I was just trying to check that out as well. But
you talk about the game. I will fact check for you.
Okay. Yes, and it also is. Price, if you can. Fetch me a price.
Boy.
Coffee Crisis.
$9.99.
In pounds, you nincompoop.
Well, I'm trying to express things in the currency that might be stable.
Well, don't do it in dollars either.
No, don't do it in US dollars either. That is an excellent point.
Do it in McDonald's prices.
Anyway, right.
Yeah, they've had a boon.
Coffee Crisis on the Switch. Recently came out. I believe there's a discount for buying it at the moment as well. I'm not sure how long that lasts. But,
I like that.
But yeah, it is a co-op
brawler.
Put that
right in my basket.
It is a co-op brawler in which you basically are baristas stopping or helping to trying to prevent aliens from stealing heavy metal from retro games. There you go.
I'm very confused.
I was going to dance around that more, but then I was going to get more confusing. So,
as in the music heavy metal?
What?
As in the music heavy metal?
Yes.
As in rare earth minerals?
Baristas.
Right.
We know.
Or barristers.
The animal barista, yep.
So Barry and his friend Easter, right?
Yes, Barry and Easter.
Right, okay.
No, I know him. He's the guy who played Drax. Barista.
Oh, he is, you're right. Yeah,
Dave Barista.
Yeah,
that's the one.
Dave Barista. There's two of you can play as male or female.
Hey, barista.
Basically, stop it. And then there's like two-player co-op you can play as well. Yeah, it's a scrolling beat-em-up.
A bit like Final Fight?
In that sort of sense, except for you're fighting aliens, and I guess they never really bring this up, but I'm guessing possessed by aliens, old people. Because you're beating up a lot of old men with red eyes and like women with walking frames who are attacking you.
Wait, are they possessed by aliens?
Not like, you know,
these
old ladies.
Is this old people possessed by aliens?
I believe so. They
like
don't
Xenu.
Really bring that up. They just attack you and you have to attack them back. I haven't got to a point in the story where they necessarily clarify that. But everyone else is aliens, and there are like...
So there's a game on a Nintendo platform that condones the willy-nilly assault against OAPs, right?
I can make it worse if
right, please do.
You also attack, admittedly looking a bit Professor X-like, but aliens in wheelchairs, just, you know.
Oh, dear.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So there's that. But...
It does sound all very Scientology.
There's some stuff going on there, some things to unpack. But generally, like, it's a good co-op brawler. I wouldn't say it was excellent. It feels like it's got a not lacking a level of polish, because I kind of like it's gone for a retro 8-bit art style type thing that kind of works, and it's got like some effects it puts on top of that. And you also, you're dealing with modifiers, which sometimes make the combat easier, but also make looking at the game harder, which is a bit weird because it can get very busy on the screen with lots of enemies at one time. And that can be enough almost kind of thing. And then adding that on top can be more of a distraction. But like, it's a competent, like, generally enjoyable brawler that it doesn't lack polish, but it feels like it lacks a bit of crunch and weight to like hitting the people. It doesn't quite feel as...
I mean, the Switch is quite light.
...satisfying as it is. Well, no, like, I think there's like, most of the enemies are, like, there's a hardness to dealing with them in some way that you have to kind of, you know, negotiate round, which is the same way in a lot of these things. But none of them feel that particularly satisfying to hit. Basically beating up a bunch of old ladies and, like, I'm not saying it's a totally unsatisfying game, but there's no, like, enemy I really like to beat. There's enemies I like to defeat because they were annoying to play against, not an enemy I'm satisfied with the victory of, if you see what I mean. And there's a slight difference there. And it took me a while to work out that slight disconnect. But I was playing it co-op with Rick as well, and like he kind of pointed out some of those things as well, basically. But that sounds overly a bit negative. It's not bad. It's just not like exceptionally good. And we talked about Raging Justice last year, Colin.
Yes.
I thought that had a bit more to it. Like, it's not that there isn't stuff here to like. There's just not that much to love, type of thing. Like, it's a good game and it's enjoyable, and that's why I was asking the price, because like that may affect, you know, your ability to pick it up. And there's also like you play through the game, and then at any point in time, you've basically got a number of continues that are represented in coins. And you can pick up more of those coins and earn more of those coins throughout the game to like increase the amount of continues you have. But
okay. At
any point in time, if you run out of those continues...
That's a revolutionary system.
No, I know. But at any point in time, you run out of those continues and die,
yeah,
you get a code.
Never seen that in a game before.
Right. Okay, again, you get a code that you can then enter on the menu screen.
Oh, like, okay, so like older games.
Like a password.
So,
yeah.
So you literally have to either remember it or write it down.
Like old games, okay.
Yeah, like old games. Which is quite quaint and quite nice.
Is there a save state at all?
Yeah, no. It's literally almost like a roguelike where you can cheat and enter the code kind of thing. But there's no progression system that, you know, you just get better at the game slightly, and you might therefore get more continues playing through from the beginning of the game than you previously had. But I've got to the point now where there's a level that I can't defeat, like, because you can, if you die, you get a code for, you know, the level that you've reached. There's a level now that's like really long, and I keep on dying on that level, and so I'm just replaying the same level again and again, and it gets a bit like, well, I'd rather just be able to progress through this level and see what the rest of the game's like. And I'm not sure how much of the game I've got left to go, because it's fairly, you know.
Well,
I don't know how.
Let me shed some light on why that crazy system may be indeed in place, because you can buy this on the Mega Drive as well.
Oh, okay. Some
you
other
can
games
buy a
out.
Retro cartridge.
Yeah,
which has the Mega Drive version on it. And that retro cartridge will cost you only giving the prices in US dollars. Yes, that is how much money it will cost. And I presume they were going for the whole 16-bit aesthetic, but yeah. It's quite funny considering that, you know, okay, so the system specs are a Sega Genesis or a Mega Drive,
mm-hmm.
or a modern Windows, Mac, or Linux computer with up to 250 megs of storage, a gig of RAM, 2 gig of VRAM, and a 2.6 gigahertz CPU, which, as we all know, was the sleeper spec that the Mega Drive secretly had under the hood. It travelled back in time.
That actually makes sense of a lot of the style and the structure of the game. It does feel almost like a lost Mega Drive game, and that kind of makes a bit more sense of its structure. And,
I mean, that's the biggest compliment you can give it if it's getting ported to a Mega Drive.
I kind of said there's not much to love. There's a lot that I do like about the game. Like, it's got a nice aesthetic to it and a nice style type of thing.
A nice aesthetic.
I don't love what they've done, but I do like a lot of what they've done. I do like the basic combat. I do, kind of like the game. I just, think that old school structure is like something that, I just kind of have to power through that level and kind of get through it. But, it's not without its problems, but for that price, it's worth having a look at, especially if you were fans of games in that era type of thing. So, yeah.
Okay. I mean, You might have actually sold me on that. Because really? I am a fan of games of that era, and I do like Mega Drive games, and I do like side-scrolling beat-em-ups. Yes.
Well,
so,
the good news is it's local co-op, Coleman, so you can try it out on mine, and if you like it, you can invest.
The other, I will admit, the other reason is this game is $8.99, but there's 33% off on the Switch at the moment, so it's $5.99. Plus, if you've got any gold points, which I've got a bunch from the Travis Smash. Strikes Again that comes out the day of this... Well, it comes out the day this podcast comes out, so I've not played it yet. But, I might pick that up for next to nothing.
Oh, fair enough. Well, why not?
Yeah. When in Rome.
All right. One game that I'm just going to mention quickly because you can pick it up for next to nothing, and this is another one, Coleman, you and I are going to have to enjoy at some point. There's a game called One Strike, which is a beat 'em up in which you literally, like, the main mode is you have one life. And if you get...
Oh, yeah, I know the one.
You're dead. Yeah. You can block, and there's, like, charging back and forward moves generally, but every different fighter has a slightly different fighting style. It's currently 89p on the Switch, and for
Yowza.
That I definitely recommend it from the little bit I've played.
Okay,
it's good in one player, and it's good. I was surprised at how good it was in one player and how much I actually ended up playing it a little bit. But it's good fun in two player, which is I think where it will shine. But yeah.
So is it that they're trying to encourage like kind of tactical parrying and stuff like that, or is it literally just the first person who spams the button and is lucky enough?
No, the thing I like about it is the block only lasts for a certain period of time. So you have to be really tactical about when you're attacking, when you're blocking, when you're moving forward, when you're moving back. Like everyone's got a slightly different range, and yeah, like it's interesting enough. As I said, for 89p. Pick it up while it's that price.
I believe there's a Game Grumps video on this that's very good and should give you all the information you need on it.
Yeah. Like, fun and a little distraction in one player, but two player is where it's going to shine. But for 89p, yeah, grab that.
And I have a question.
Yeah.
Has it got anything to do with the All Saints single One Strike?
I didn't know that was a thing, so let's go with yes.
I know I like a handful of All Saints songs, and that's not one of them.
Yeah.
Hey, you guys seen that on Onimusha Warlords?
Yeah.
It's all right.
Good stuff, Coleman. Wait, internet. That's amazing. Yeah.
Sorry, I played a little bit of that, but I didn't play enough of it to leave like a review or anything. But there's improved, improved graphics, and there's improved controls, which is good because the original Onimusha plays like Resident Evil, like the tank controls. This does like full proper stick again. Then that's nice.
Full
it's good.
Stick.
Full proper stick, but
full
it is like
proper stick.
It is a port of a port ass port game. There's no like significant massive changes in other than controls and graphics. So
they're fairly massive changes, Coleman. To be fair,
like, I mean, when you look at like
actual controls and the things you look at,
I know, but I mean in terms of like we'll put the spectrum of say Devil May Cry ported to the PS3 to Shadow of the Colossus ported to the PS4, you know? Shadow of the Colossus ported to the PS3 to Shadow of the Colossus ported to the PS4. It's night and day, really.
What? I've just had one of those Inception noises go off in my brain.
Well, one was ported and one was completely rebuilt, so, you know.
There we go.
Point but, he was trying to make. You yeah. just said those words,
But I do hope they continue with them, because the only Onimusha game I ever played on the PS2 originally was that, the one with Jean Reno in it. So I want to play that again to see if it's as bad as I remember.
Probably so.
Probably worse. It's amazing. They put all this stock into it. Look, Jean Reno's in our game. And then you play it, and he speaks for like a line in the start of the game. And then something happens where his voice gets replaced by an American actor.
Oh, a little bit like what they did with Solid Snake in Metal Gear Solid 5.
Yeah, it was so weird. And then you get to the end, and then he's got one line again, and that was it. They they paid him to scan his face, basically.
Nice.
Anyway, Onimusha Warlords, it's out now, £15.
Good.
There you go.
Cha-ching.
Cha-ching. I think it's on Switch as well.
I have something different to talk about, gentlemen.
Yeah, I need to know about this because I'm getting hassled whether we're going to this or not. So go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So I was invited, and I should have said I got a code for Coffee Crisis earlier as well. Also, just so you know, I got invited as press to go cover Marvel Avengers Station. Which is an installation-y thing at London Expo.
Way to make it sound like a bag of dicks.
I didn't mean it like that. It was he got the invite. We all got the invite, and I was working, so I couldn't go. That's why my disgruntled.
Describing it as like an installation makes it sound really wank.
No,
as in like
an art installation. Well, no, come and see my mung bean sculpture.
Like a separate building that they've built outside Excel. It's not even.
Oh right.
Like, it's actually like it's a big glorified tent, but it's almost like its own kind of exhibition stroke, you know, what's the word I'm looking for? Museum almost of Avengers, basically.
Just to get geeky about the Excel, where have they built that?
It's, you know, where the big kind of stripy rainbow building is on the side near...
Oh, the smoking area, right.
It's on that side, basically. Come out of Prince Regent Station and... go towards the main entrance, and yep. it's right on the left-hand side.
It's where all the cosplayers gather at MCM. Yeah, I gotcha.
It's I would say, like, you will get the most out of this either if you go with children or you are a big child yourself. So fortunately, me and Rick were down for this.
Massive children.
But yeah, it's a Marvel Avengers Station, and it's called Station because that stands for Science, Training, and Tactical Intelligence Operative Network.
I'm getting the impression that there might be a story to go with this that is aimed to children.
Kind of slightly. Basically, you're one of the kind of new recruits coming in to help train up to be one of the like backup team for the Avengers.
Oh my god! Can you imagine?
Dan,
could you imagine a Marvel universe where Tim
and Rick,
Tim and Rick rock up? As
I have an army. We have a Tim.
Hey,
hello.
Where am I?
Ah!
Why is it Thursday?
That's my secret cap. Oh. That'd I'm always amazing. Basically.
Are we recording a film from the MCU today? Was that today? anyway, right, yeah. So basically, yeah, as I said, it's kind of a museum exhibit type stuff. Like, opens strongly, I have to say. Like, it's a good opening. Like, you get like the door. But, well, basically, there's a little kind of intro training thing from.
Colby Smothers.
What's her name? Hill, the lady.
Yeah, Maria Hill. It's Colby Smothers.
Is it Colby Smothers? Okay, yeah. Right. Yeah, she does the little training intro thing and basically, you know, kind of just introduces it on kind of a few TV screens. And then the doors kind of open and you've got like Iron Man facing you, basically. With
nice.
The like Hulkbuster armor just behind that as well, basically. And then nice. A whole like... sort of wall of different Iron Man costumes and different stuff going on. The one thing of... particular note in that area as well for this podcast is the fact that they had a thing where you could take control of the Hulk armor, basically the Hulkbuster armor.
Ooh.
So first of all, you go and like stand on a line, and it straps the Iron Man suit to you. Like,
is this all ARVR goodness?
Ah, well, I'll come on to that in a second because I saw exactly what they're doing this with.
Because this is playing into my head way better than you're describing it.
Yeah, well, still. And then basically, you do a little level where you're in Hulkbuster armor, and you just kind of push out your hands, and it sends a kind of a beam going from that, and then you've got the like unibeam thing coming from the middle that like at the end that knocks Aww. Everything out in front of it, kind of thing. And it's all Kinect based because it had like massive TV screens and all everything set up. I don't know; it's probably a Kinect unit connected to a PC, I would imagine.
Yeah,
but yeah, it was all like Kinect based. I noticed, and all those TVs had
Kinect. That's connected to a Commodore 64. I heard it here first.
And yeah, obviously it's this, you know, kind of thing that they've probably purpose built for the purpose, but that was actually decent. Like,
purpose built for the purpose.
Purpose built for the exhibition.
They had a purpose. They purpose built something for that purpose. That's why they called it purpose built.
I haven't seen it in anything else, basically. But yeah, that was like just, it was interesting and fun to play around with. I think that's one that the kids and big kids will get on with, kind of thing. But then, yeah, like, I won't go into describing everything from there on, but the
why break from the habit of a lifetime, Tim? Carry on.
No, it's like it takes you through the different sections, just like Bruce Banner's lab that you could wander through and like play stuff. That didn't have like a model of the Hulk. Like most of the rest of the things, because obviously you can have the Iron Man costumes. Most of the rest of them had like costumes behind glass and like, I don't know, the Iron Man one seemed a bit more personable, kind of, it was more in your face sort of thing. But yeah, like it had other cool stuff to do, like Captain America's shield you could hold and Captain America's motorbike that you could get on and have photos with. And then one of the coolest ones was, and with things, they've just got you can attempt to pick up Thor's hammer. So apparently, I am unworthy. So,
well, it's probably because they've it's like just a big concrete hammer that is part of the big concrete thing underneath it. You can't actually remove
Don't
it.
Don't spoil the magic, man.
Do they
it's because Odin whispered, he cast out Thor to Earth, yeah, and then he whispered into that, and he went,
"Curse you, Anthony Hopkins!"
Yeah, and then Anthony Hopkins, he whispered, and then he threw the hammer, and he went, and then you can't lift it.
Yeah, that's all there.
Also, Idris Elba.
As you're wandering around different sections, there's also like loads of like different things to read and
different
kind of
things. Tell me more.
Well, no, just like different bits of information and fluff around, you know, this character and who
they
are
in
the universe and stuff like that. Most of the stuff which Rick and I were, you know, well aware of and sort of stuff. So we didn't hang around with that much, like too much. But if you are a Avengers fan from the movies and don't know that much of the comics and stuff like that, obviously there's a lot more information there that you kind of read to and go through as well. But yeah, it's fun just to play around with the props and different bits, as well as the kind of the major like movie Avengers that has got a big section on. There was also like some other bits that had been added. So there's a little bit on like Black Panther, a little bit on Ant-Man and Wasp. The bit near Ant-Man was actually quite cool. But yeah, there's lots of like different things to explore and fun. The only thing I'd say is that the end was a little bit disappointing. There's an end thing where you go through and
someone snap their fingers and you fade into dust.
No, basically, like, you're fighting.
Was it all a dream?
You're fighting a load of the enemy things, and you can pick who you are from the different Avengers, and then you get like a little pad and you can punch stuff. And it's not.
My favourite thing about this review is the complete not overuse of the word things.
But yeah, but like, as I said, it ended on a slight near. But generally, I think that the exhibition was quite good fun. It is like £25 for adults.
That's not too bad.
That is perfectly reasonable.
I think I paid that for the DC one.
Yeah, it's not like horrific, but it's also not the cheapest. But like, I think if you're a fan of all of those things, you're going to go and get like enough fun photos and enough like fun out of seeing the stuff that's there and interacting with the stuff that's there. That yeah, it's worth checking out. I think it's until March this year.
Mm-hmm.
It's open every day of the week, generally from like 10 till 6:30, but then it's open a bit earlier on the weekends until a bit later on Friday and Saturday, basically. So
huzzah!
Yeah, worth visiting while it's there if you're a fan of all that stuff, especially if you're a fan of that stuff and you've got kids to take as well. There was quite a few kids in cosplay wandering around as well, and just seeing them
cool.
Getting enjoyment.
That
out
is
it was
awesome.
Quite funny as well. So
that's like one of my favorite things of MCM, just seeing like little kids dressed up and there's their favorite superheroes and like playing around, and there's people that are dressed as their superheroes in like really cool costumes. They get their photos taken together.
Mm.
And it just reminds me of being a kid myself when, you know, I really liked Batman and had to be very quiet about it. So
it is probably worth booking tickets on the weekend just in case, but there is the possibility of just turning up, I think, and getting tickets on the door if they're available.
Yeah.
And I heard other people say stuff about Groupon as well, so you could check that out.
Yeah,
okay.
I would probably advise booking it because, to be fair, there's not a lot else to do around the XL Centre.
Yeah, it's a bit of a dead zone in London.
Depends what's on an XL at the time as well.
Yeah.
But yeah.
That's weird though, like going, hey, it's the London XL in a tent. That is a bit weird. But it sounds a lot like the stuff they had touring around the Disney parks a few years ago. And that might be why they're missing a lot of the more modern stuff. Well, not missing, but not as in-depth as the other things that are available.
Yeah, I think outside it looked a bit more like ramshackles, a bit harsh, but it didn't look as you know, as much as it was when you actually got inside and wandering around. It was quite cool.
Yeah.
Gift shop could have done with more things, but...
Yeah, and that's the same complaint I had with the DC one. They did a DC one in the O2, and it was really cool. It was like the... It starts off with comics and then it goes into TV and then it goes into movies and the history of DC. But it was literally, it was just a museum. It wasn't all this, you know, you didn't have the Kinect games and there wasn't a storyline arching to it. It was literally just a museum. You were going through and checking out cool stuff. But they gave you like an audio tour thing that you could listen to on the way. And me and a mate were going through and then went, we know all this. We're massive nerds. So it was kind of useless. So we just went through on our own pace and did what we wanted. But yeah, this sounds a lot more interactive. And yeah, that's why I wanted to hear about it, because it seems more geared to... I want to go, but it seems more geared to children. And I feel like I'd be out of place there.
Right. I would say that's definitely
Do you need a listener to lend you their child? Is that essentially what it comes down to, Carl?
Mate, I can get a kid. Have you seen the mums in the supermarkets? They're not paying attention.
I would say, as I said, I would say that it will, you definitely get the best out of the kids. And I've already spoken to like one of my mates who's got a couple of kids who I know will get the best out of this and said, yeah, you should probably go to this kind of thing.
Yeah.
But like generally, I don't think that should stop you from going there. If this sounds of interest, you will probably get like, you know, a reasonable amount of interest out of it. But as I said, get the best out of it and you can take some kids along as well.
I am tempted to buy my mate and his daughter a ticket to come with me so I don't feel so dumb. Then we could just pretend we're like gay dads. It'd be fine.
Dad, look at this. Which dad, darling?
we've had this in the past.
Come back round on the bareback. Mm. Well, anywho.
Hi, yep. Andrew.
Hi. Right, is that it, Tim?
I'm not sure that was the best way to end that segment, gentlemen, but thank you very much.
That's right. Anytime. That's what
we're
here for.
Anytime, Tim. Anytime.
Anytime.
Yeah, Marvel's Avengers Station at London XL.
Good for you. Well done.
Don't have to pretend to be a gay dad to go there.
And if you are a gay dad, it doesn't even matter. It doesn't matter who you are.
If you are a gay dad, say hello.
Be who you want to be.
Say hello.
Be who you want to be. What?
Give us some feedback. Say, give us a review. Say, I am a proud gay dad and listener of the Big Red Barrel UK podcast. Right on.
I am a proud non-binary gender parent.
Yes. Just to add, I know we're waffling nonsense and that's all fun and everything, but just to add one semblance of sense to the end as well. There was a nice touch at the end. They had a book for Stan Lee and you could write a message to him. And that gets me surprisingly emotional because I had to think what to say.
And do you want to come to Marvel Avengers Station with me?
Am I going to be your bizarrely large, hairy child?
So it's going to be two gay dads and Uncle Dan.
Am I going to be the jilted lover?
No, you'll be Uncle Dan.
You'll be in the Thor cosplay.
You could be the child in the cosplay. But we get you a child's Iron Man costume with a little plastic mask.
Nice. That'll show off the middle-aged belly beautifully.
Good.
I want to see Iron Man.
Sounds like I'm going back to Marvel Avengers Station just to see this.
Where, Dad, is Iron Man Tony Stark? Is he Tony? Why is he called Tony?
I want to fight the Hulk.
Is Tony Stark? Is he related to Sean Bean?
Oh.
Anyway,
wrap it up.
Tabletop Tuesday, Timothy.
Yes.
Hit us with facts about Tabletop Tuesday, for there are none in the agenda.
There are none in the agenda, but there's a doozy of a game coming up this week.
A doozy, you say?
Keyforge. You literally, at the moment, cannot buy the starter sets of this game for love nor money. We have some of the non-starter sets as the base decks, but it's a really interesting game. Basically, every single deck has a unique deck,
And does it also have a unique ant to go with it?
Well, it has a unique name and is completely like different from every other deck out there.
That was worth a titter.
I saw you went there. I saw a bit too late.
Can you say it all in a South African accent? Could you say you have a unique dick?
You have a unique dick.
I got a massive dick. I put it together myself. It's my custom dick.
You need to play my dick.
You kids, stay away from my dick.
Gentlemen?
Yep. Keyforge!
Keyforge. Anyone who doesn't know, each and every Tuesday we do an event called Tabletop Tuesday
at the Loading Bar
in Dalston. I'm ignoring your question for now.
No, I just wonder, has Keyforge got anything to do with the brand of key makers called Timpsons?
Yes.
No, but it is a game made by Richard Garfield, the previous maker of Magic the Gathering.
Oh, that fella.
How to make a card game. Yeah. But yeah, this one's not collectible. It's got a unique deck. But as I said, each and every week we do an event at Loading Bar in Dalston called Tabletop Tuesday. If you come along and play our feature game that evening, you will have a chance of winning a copy of the game at the end of the night. We'll be giving away two Keyforge decks at the end of the night.
Whoa.
And there'll be two Keyforge decks to play at Tabletop Tuesdays from now on. I'm going to be hanging on to the decks and bringing them in on Tuesdays so people can battle.
He's going to be hanging on to his dick.
Not leaving them at the bar because they will get wrecked, but they will be available to play at Tabletop Tuesdays from now on. And I will be making myself available to teach the game to people from now on as well. And generally on Tuesday, come along on Tuesday, and just by coming along and trying out the game, you could possibly win yourself a copy at the end of the night. And it's a unique deck that you can have all to yourself. It will be your deck from then on.
Your deck.
Yeah, you'd like that, wouldn't you?
No, I really wouldn't.
Tabletop Tuesday, 22nd of July, yeah. Keyforge. Tim's going to craft a major dick.
Major dick.
Tim will be holding both dicks.
Yeah, both dicks. He's got a unique dick.
Get me rigs.
Thanks, gentlemen.
What?
There are more details if people want actual sensible details on the top left-hand corner of bigredbarrel.com. There isn't currently, but there will be hopefully by the time you hear this.
Details on the girth.
And,
okay, good.
No, I wasn't talking to you, Dan. I was talking to our listeners, as you said to me.
We have week. Listeners?
What?
Yes,
not apparently. Sure we do anymore.
But we do. There's numbers to back this up. And yeah, what was I going to say? You can join our meetup group, which is just shy of 1,700 members at the moment. We have 1,690 members.
That's like 1,700.
If everyone turns up 1 week, we are in trouble.
Fire hazard.
So do your two dicks count towards the members, or is that a completely different thing?
That's a different thing.
If all 1,700 members of the meetup.com decide to get together and craft a dick for Keyforge, then that's 1,700 dicks. Have you seen that many dicks in your life, Tim?
I've seen two dicks tonight, I tell you that much.
My tonight's South African accent will be based off of what's his
tonight's dose from, of casual racism Black Panther. Brought you by.
I was thinking Black Panther.
Oh, okay.
Ulysses Claw, there we go.
Yes.
Yeah. Tabletop Tuesday, 22nd of January, Dalston, Loden Bar, Keyforge, go make South African accents at Tim.
Not to play with his dick. Actually, please do take videos of you asking to play with Tim's dick.
Don't tell the internet to do those sorts of things, Dan. We actually have actual listeners that come to these events and will actually do that.
At least three people will ask to see his dick.
I hope so.
And one person won't get the joke and just walk up.
Bonus points for you asking it at the urinal.
One person will walk up, point blank to his face and go, "Let me see your dick."
On the middle of the table.
I've always loved you.
Yeah, the main problem with that is it's going to be Coleman that does that. So, you know.
Nah, I've got work, buddy. All right, that's everything.
Are we done?
Yep.
I bloody well hope so.
Good. Right. So we're going to say thank you to some people because we have people to say thank you to. So from the Twitter sphere, is it a Twitter sphere? The Twitter sphere obloid.
Oh, can I do Twitter?
Oblate spheroid, rather. Yeah. What? Yeah. You want to do Twitter?
We have, on Twitter, we have Damien Cooper, who has been giving me suggestions of horse names for Red Dead Redemption, and he's trying to theme them around wrestling, which I really like.
I wonder, Iceland is what I would call it.
Nay Mysterio is my favourite so far.
Nay Mysterio.
Mick Foley, spelled F-O-A-L-Y. Okay. I really like that one as well. So, yes, give me your horse pun wrestling names. Stone Cold Steve Austin is as far as I've got.
That's good.
Yeah, it's very hard to work out these. Nelly, thank you as always. And Jack's Champion.
Undertaker. No.
Undertaker.
It's
a bit shoehorned in, you know?
Hey!
Horseshoehorned in, if you will. It would be funny if I said that in the first place. Nelly, as always, our diehard fan, thank you very much. And Jack's Champion has decided to let me know that he's bought Drop Mix.
Yeah.
Says, I blame Dammit Coleman. I think that's now four people that have tweeted me saying that they've bought Drop Mix because of me.
And you're more than welcome to blame Coleman for other things as well. He's usually the root of most problems.
If I get 10 people say they bought Drop Mix because of me, I'm going to screenshot all of those, send them to Harmonix and go, give me money. Fire your PR head and put me there. I've made you this much money.
Yeah, feel welcome to bring it to Tabletop Tuesday because I don't want to take Coleman's version. Oh.
Giant nay stacks. Oh.
Good. That is quite good.
Oh. Damien, when you hear this, giant nay stacks. That's really good.
I try.
I like that one.
Mm.
Oh, that's up there with Harry Trotter. Usain Colt.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. Those are my online horsies. Horse eye.
Horses. I'm going to say thank you to two people from Facebook, even though I don't frequent the Facebooks very often. But the books of faces include Edward Price and Freya Goddard. Thank you very much for popping along and saying hello.
I believe Ed wanted us to... You remember we did Lion King shout-outs?
Yes.
I think he wanted a cut of that that could then be turned into a ringtone. We might put it together. There's a good chance we'll forget.
Yes. I would say there's a very high chance we will forget.
I've made a few personalised ringtones from this show for people where I've had to like separate you or separate Tim or myself and turn them into Apple ones, which is
I've got another one. Fawn Michaels.
Fawn Michaels? Oh, you're on fire, man. I've had a week to think of this and I'm going to come up with Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Triple horse, surely.
Triple,
No?
Nah. Low-hanging fruit, my friend.
Right.
Like the expanding and shrinking testicles on the horse in Red Dead Redemption.
The expanding test? What?
How do we get onto testicles again? We were...
Low-hanging fruit.
Mmm.
If it's cold in Red Dead, the horse testicles shrink.
I didn't need
If it's warm, they expand.
The path, Coleman.
Like a horse.
Like a dead horse.
Like a horse with expanding...
Like a dead horse, Coleman.
Anyway,
we made Coleman nay now.
You absolute felon. Right, we're going to stop now because Coleman's going ultrasonic. So what we're going to do, we're going to say thank you very much for listening. It's been a genuine pleasure for us. I'm not sure it has been for you. Make sure you go to www.bigredbarrel.com or /.internet.com/bigredbarrel and you'll find something. I have been Dan.
I might have been laughing up a lung. Oh,
we've broken Coleman, so we're going to get out of here. Thank you ever so much for listening, and until next time, dear listeners, toodle bye. You're an idiot.
3 years are quite welcome
for the podcasting goodness that you just heard.
Why not roll on over
to BigRedBarrel.com
for more podcasts,
news, reviews, and videos from the biggest, reddest site on the internet, BigRedBarrel.com.